Hi everyone, it's the Club Racing UK podcast. We're here, we're back once again. And boy, have we got a bumper show for you guys tonight. It certainly took quite a long time to write. It's plenty of pages full of racing action, much piss taking, a league table, no less. And we're not on about the English Premier League or any other sporting matters for that matter. And we're going to talk about one thing that we're actually using right now. We're going to talk about social media, because despite what a few people say, it might just be a lot more important for club racing than you realise. Joining us today is the usual trio. We've got Nick Holmes, the other one, and Ian Waterhouse. How are we doing, guys?
Very well, thank you, mate.
Did we all know about the little screen kicking off the timer at the start? Or is that just a surprise to me?
I didn't know about that.
It's cool. That was awesome. I like that.
That was really awesome.
It was good. There was the audio from the KA's testing yesterday.
I think we must give credit to Elaine for that, because he'd have put that together, and it was great. Really good.
Thanks, thank you very much, Elaine.
Big shout out to Elaine. The guy's a legend. What can I say?
It's better than listening to us lot for a minute while it's all being loaded up and us picking our nose and fidgeting in the background, isn't it? So yeah, thanks, mate. That's good.
Or trying to say expletives and then going tee hee 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 in the background as it all goes. Like a bunch of children. Well, the segments, to be honest, are a little bit changed this week. We haven't so much as got a news roundup. Of course, the racing resumes, finally. We have stage one of the roadmap came through. Unfortunately, we got a little bit of bad news that sort of surfaced yesterday while you guys were out doing your thing at Donington. So we'll cover... Yes, I know. We'll cover that as well, and we'll get people's thoughts. Oh, man, let me just adjust my camera. It's moved. So, of course, as you're watching tonight, get your comments in. I'm looking at the Club Racing UK main page and looking at Ian Waterhouse posts on the paddock. The lads are watching other various pages, fingers crossed as well.
Yeah.
Either way, if you've got comments coming in, get them in. We'll answer them and we'll debate about it for you. It's what we're here for.
Let's have a mass debate.
What time is it? 3 minutes. 3 minutes it took.
Turned to smut instantly.
No, what? That's not smut.
I love this show.
Lots of people debating
is a mass debate.
Yeah.
True.
So people sort of crowding round debating together is just sort of a group of people mass debating.
I'm gone.
Anyway, childish moving like on. Right, moving on from that, Stefan. I do apologise for my intro at the beginning. I was under orders to do that, and it was only because when we come to the first news item, someone referred to you as the other one.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. Oh, yes.
So at least
I'm known, just not by name, by face.
Oh, well, let's be honest. You're like a cute little puppy dog anyway, so, you know. Anyway, okay, let's get this over with. So Thursday was the first of the testing that was going on, and it was myself, Nick Holmes, Ed Whitehouse, and Sam Pierce popped to see us. Went to Brands Hatch, and it was quite an eventful day, wasn't it, Nick?
Yes, Robert, it was.
Tell you what, let's bring up the first photo and we'll see exactly what you mean.
Oh, look at that. Look at that picture.
Look at the size.
I don't think I've ever been prouder of that floor at this rate, Rob.
Well, I mean, to be honest, the ironic thing was, to make it sturdy, you'll see the two legs going back. Now, on my car, the exhaust is at the front and it comes underneath the engine, hence the gap. There was going to be an aluminium plate possibly going over that, but as you could see, Nick took care of it anyway. So that was bolted to the subframe, had three rose-jointed legs with spreader plates, one of which you could see that Nick has completely obliterated. Well, I say Nick obliterated it. We all did. It didn't last very long. To be honest, I put my hands up. I tried 9mm ply, not strong enough, simple as. And it was reinforced It was, I've got to say, it was spectacular to watch Nick go thundering past in my car and just hear bang as it rattles against the car when the front went.
Can I just say, Rob, I think today's script would have been stronger than your 9mm ply splitter.
To be fair, it was literally reinforced everywhere but the lower edge. I should have bolted it to the bumper maybe, but that's what club racing's about. We learn from these things. So got rid of the splitter, went out, started to go really well, and then we got pulled by the noise Nazis. And it wasn't just us. There was about five or six cars in the end, race cars that were there on the day. And unfortunately, our track day was finished by about 2:30.
Yeah, it was an annoyingly low dB track day, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the one point I know a few people have kind of sort of said to me, well, what are you doing testing on the track day? Well, it was actually one of the track days that was referred to me from our championship organisers that said, right, you've got a discount on this date. We've allocated this for you. Take advantage of it. So I did, but obviously the noise settings weren't.
Who doesn't test on a track day? That's true. Test days are fucking expensive.
Well, yeah, because, you know, as it's well documented, I'm not bloody made of money. I'm on a tight budget this year, so I'm not going to pay £750 to do 4 fucking 20-minute sessions. It's as simple as.
Poor man couldn't even afford 12mm ply. Come on, guys.
You bastard. But no, I knew as soon as that happened, this episode was going to go one direction only. But as well as the lads at Donington yesterday, I did kind of get a chance to reveal my livery. So I've got 2 more pictures for you, hopefully. Elaine? There we go. So that's how my car's going to look this year. So if we go to the second picture, third picture, there we go.
Oh, look at that.
I love the stash. Nick's hat. Very nice.
Yeah, I think it's changed now. What did I send you guys the other day? Well, basically, we found out that with a whiteboard marker, you can doodle on the logo. So it's fantastic.
I did get one sent to me with my face looking like Hitler.
That wasn't me that sent it, that's for sure.
No,
I mean, it took me a while to realise as well, which I found even funnier. And I went back into my WhatsApp to message someone. I was like, hang on a minute,
maybe in two weeks' time we should start this at 9. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Ian. We're going to get in trouble.
Ian's getting antsy up there.
I think it's getting that way, but the lads went to Donington yesterday, so I gave up my livery first. So as we all know, my car's going to be the sort of official podcast car, so mine's going to carry the podcast logo and such and so forth. I keep trying to prop my phone up to read comments, but... Sorry, Nick, go on.
Can I just say, this is just going to be an all-out cry to all club racers, fans, and everybody involved in the show. By all means this year, if you ever do come to the circuit and you see Rob's car, please, please bring a whiteboard marker and do Rob's car.
No, Nick, seriously, I've got 2 in the garage. They're going to come to every race, right? One side is going to be kept professional, but the other side... You are more than welcome to come if you're quite artistic and doodle on the 3 faces, and then we'll wipe it off after every round, and then we'll go and do it again in the next round. I'm up for a laugh. It's good fun.
That'd be a laugh, actually.
Yeah, just don't doodle on the rest of the car because, you know, I've got sponsors and people that are helping me at the moment. So, you know, but yeah, logo, by all means, crack on.
This is going to be carnage, Rob. You didn't know when you just opened up it.
It could be worse, Ian. It could be worse. I could put a 9mm splitter on it and it could obliterate itself within about 8 laps.
You could do that, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. That already happened.
What's that?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Whoever the hell did that?
Who did that?
Whoever did that is going to hell. Right, just down to some comments. Chris Pearson, where's the face fuzz gone, Rob? I had to save weight on the car, which ironically I now need to put ballast in, but no, I just fancied a bit of a trim. Matt Cleary has commented, serial listening to the show, the focus sounded awesome on the dyno. Yes, so after we got knocked off the track for noise test, I did get a chance to get my car tested for the championship. So it was 171.2, wasn't it, Nick? I've got the graph here. Like 171.2. So I'm just sorting out some ballast that's got to go in the car this evening. So that'll be getting corner weighted Saturday, and we'll be racing on Sunday. Pescara Productions, that's some high level aero work you're giving away there. Where do we enter to win that? I'll give it away now. I'll give it away now. It's currently next to my bin, so you can have it. Sam Pierce commented, pre-loved shed roof for sale, never raced or rallied.
Oh dear.
Pescara also agrees about test days, though. He says those days are dead. Track days are rammed within a day or so of being posted. It is. I mean, to be honest, it's kind of a bit of a gripe and something we kind of need to debate on here about test days being so bloody much for the clubby. But yeah, it's quite annoying from a personal point of view because we want to go and test. We don't want to get in track days' way. But at the same time, you know, we need somewhere to shake down our race cars. It's as simple as that.
Judging by the two track days I've been on in the last week, it's not. We don't need to worry about track days getting in our way.
Okay, we'll just leave there before you get
lynched. One day we will get this sorted. We want to make a Club Racing UK track day so we can invite Club Racing UK fans along to a sole track day for us lot. So I'm assuming the majority would just be race cars, so we won't annoy the normal track day goer.
Yeah.
If you're up for that, write a comment below.
It's in the pipelines. we've discussed it. We just need to find a TDO that'll
just cost tons of money.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to back our great idea.
Sorry, we've got loads of comments coming in. The latest one that's just come in, Steph, Sam Pierce says, you can tell it's race week. Stefan swapped a beer for a protein shake.
It's actually a powdered energy drink made by Sneak. Today is strawberry millions, I think. It's very nice. Very nice.
Oh, look at that.
I feel the energy coming through me already.
Jesus Christ, I should make Stefan an electrician. There's that many plugs in there.
For the record as well, you could definitely tell it's race week because this idiot up here decided to fill our office drawer up. We have a biscuit drawer. He put chocolate digestives in there, but the light version. Oh. Who buys the light version of chocolate digestives?
Got to save the calories, Nick. It's race week. Come on, man.
Yeah. Sai Sheza has commented, hi guys, hope you're all well. My season started at Alton last Saturday in the Northern Sports Saloons. I went fairly average. Car still running on not damaged though. Bonus. Yes, we're coming to that shortly. We have got race reports. We've been watching a bit of the racing. Alpha Live. We're live at Donington Park with the 750 Motor Club, so we all watched a bit of that. Ed Whitehouse has commented saying, Rob, you're an absolute flute. No idea what that means, calling me a musical instrument. Ashley Shelswell, I've just booked a test day at Silverstone. Same price as a brand's track day. Ashley, send us a link.
Yes.
Right, back to some other comments. Simon Court is watching this evening.
Hey, Mr. Ambassador. Simon. I was going to say, Ashley said he never comments. He just did.
He just did. Ashley, thank you for watching this evening and good to see you.
Steph, he's who's guilty of calling you the other one.
I'm the other one.
Simon Courts has tuned in this evening. He's tinkering in the garage on his race car while listening to us having a good old mass debate. Megan Edwards, evening, sorting out my marshalling stuff, ready to start marshalling at Snetterton next weekend while listening to you guys in the background. Massive shout out to awesome. The Orange Army. We love you guys. We can only go racing with you guys there, so thank you for that.
Nick Underwood's tuned in.
Mario Neofitu has tuned in. Chris Pearson, I sense a new CR UK competition coming on. Best comedy cock on the logo.
Well, I think Rob's already won that one.
Oh! Your face. You are so getting vandalised at Donington. I'm going to draw like 20 dicks on your face and send it round Donington for the photographers for that one.
I hope you're doing, and I hope they pull you in for indecent exposure in a car.
Well, it won't be in the car, will it? I won't just be sat in. I'll leave that. Okay.
It'll probably be the first time in the history of racing that you get black flagged for dicks.
Yeah. Normally, Nick's being black flagged for being an absolute cock, not just showing them off. So we've seen my livery with the podcast logo on it, and of course the lads went to Donington Park yesterday and showed off their liveries. Steph, you did send the photos in, didn't you?
Yeah, hang on, we do have a picture. Sorry, let me just jump back in. Cool. Elaine, if you're watching, it's the bottom one, the
late entry
mini
one,
and the mini in the KA. Yeah.
Now frantically look at that.
There you go.
Look at that.
I do have
spicy.
To say, I did say it before, that does look really good, mate. You know, they look fantastic, don't they?
For anyone listening on a podcast, just sorry, you can't see this.
No, you're right.
You're missing out on this.
Yeah. Check out our Instagram or Facebook. You'll see all the pictures of all our cars. Our cars. You'll also see Rob's car on there as well.
I do have to say a massive thank you. They won't be watching this, but I say thank you anyway to our painter / theming artist from work.
Yes.
Who did most of that paintwork, if not all of it. Did a fantastic job, and thanks to the guys at our work for allowing us to do it. As I say, they won't be watching it, so who cares? But cheers.
Love it.
Did you say thieving artist or theming artist?
Theming.
Okay, sorry. I heard that wrong. I was like, why the fuck's he calling him a thief?
That's his official title. He gets a bit upset when we just call him a painter. So
yeah, he does. He gets a little bit teary. Bless him.
No, you call him an artiste.
An artiste. Yeah.
For the record, though, he churned the mini out in a day. He did that in a day, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
So,
is it all painted, or have you got the stripes vinyled, or is it just it's all painted?
It's just the logos on top of it there, vinyl, but all the colours are paint.
Oh, cool. Okay, so tell us about how the test day went.
Yeah, it went well. It was a nice early start, thanks to COVID, but cold. The mini was on song in the morning. Obviously, we haven't. The last time we were out with the Coombe, it wasn't pushing that hard. We've done loads of new stuff to it and added loads of stuff to it. So, you know, proper shakedown in the morning and then just slowly, gradually pushing it throughout the day. After lunch, it had a bit of a vibration. So we were kind of chasing that all afternoon to try and figure out what it is. So got some parts on order to change tomorrow. Hopefully that'll sort that out ready for Sunday. KA, obviously the new suspension and the new sticky tyres. I've done anything else apart from put that on, and yeah, I mean, it's going to be a hard one. I think it's still fun, don't get me wrong. It's a race car going around a racetrack, but we're going to have to see what it's like with a load more cars. I think it's still going to be epic, but I mean, going around Donington, the brake pedal is not really necessary for most of it, so
So we're going to save on tyres and brake pads this year.
Definitely going to save on brake pads, okay.
High five to MSV for always thinking of ways to save money.
The only thing they'll have to bring in is a directive that you have to lubricate the brake pedal to stop it seizing up after every meeting, because you're barely going to fucking touch it.
Unless your name's Justin White.
Sorry, Steph, say again.
Matt broke down on track, just getting that in there so you can take the piss out of him.
Well, yes, he did. What, in the KA or the Mini?
Mini. I think we run it a bit low on fuel and starved the fuel and popped the fuel pump fuse. So he just conked out the bottom of Craners, I think. I did go past him in the KA and gave him the friendship sign as we went by.
Hi, Matt.
Give him the old wave.
Wave it away.
Fair enough. Well, that's the testing news for the three of us. So I'm sure you will see us possibly in action on the live stream of My Supercar, the coverage of the TDT and TDC rounds on Sunday. We're all going to be there. So Nick's racing my car. Stefan and Matt Hibbard will be racing the Club Racing UK Mini. And I think it's a full grid, chaps. I haven't seen the entry list yet, but the last email that we got through, there was only two spaces left. And I'll be honest, it probably won't be too difficult to fill them.
No.
It's probably... No, hold on. I think there's three spaces now.
Oh, what's that?
Ah, because your splitter's not on your car anymore.
Ah, yes. Very good point. So Nick's taking care of the opposition already. Right, back to...
so back funny.
To... I know.
Oh, I'm a funny guy.
I know. Stefan, can you remember what happened at Castle Coombe when we went there to test a Vectra? What was it? Yes. Now, Nick Holmes did perfect the art of wrapping an entire wiring loom for a car around a wiper motor mechanism, and we spent the lunchtime untangling it and joining it back together. That was quite good, wasn't it, Nick?
That was good. In fact, I think most of the wiring loom is still held together with chocky blocks.
Good work.
There we go.
Anyway, James, not bad. Not bad for a guy that's the electrician, eh?
Exactly. Jamie Peter Ennis has commented. He's got his ARDS test on Tuesday at Mallory. Slightly scared. And thank you for the 40th birthday wishes yesterday. A happy birthday to you, Jamie. I hope it was good. And don't worry about the ARDS test. You've been around racing long enough. You'll absolutely cruise it. And let's be honest, with the motorsport school, you're probably in the best hands around. So don't worry about
100%.
It. 100%. And we look forward to seeing that lovely grin with a pass sheet. It's all good. You'll be on track soon. Not to worry. Okay, let's move on to the next bit. So obviously we haven't got a news roundup because on Easter weekend we finally went racing again. Well, we didn't. We're doing next week. But racing was happening again. Now, I haven't covered the Masters at Donington because, let's be honest, that isn't club racing. It's probably the most expensive paddock going apart from the British Touring Car field. If you do want to have a watch of it, though, I think the race replay is all on YouTube. It is quite a good watch.
Yeah. But there's some serious machinery there.
Oh, yeah, there's some serious cars there. But we will come to that later on, actually, to do with Mr. Chris Pratt. We'll descend upon Alton Park first for MSVR. The seven race series had four races, two for the 1600s, where Lewis Thompson dominated, and the 420R, where Richard Ainscoat and Justin Heap shared the spoils. Heritage Formula Ford was there as well. It was a very small seven-car grid. Neil Paton won both the races. Hopefully, they'll pick it up soon. The highlights of the day, for me certainly, were the Northern Saloon and Sports Car Championship. Simon Sheridan commented earlier on. I want to give a special shout-out to Ben Griffiths, who got his Civic put back together after his engine was rebuilt. So there was a new K24 engine fitted on Wednesday. It was then mapped and sorted that week. No shakedown, as he put it, just balls deep. He won Class B and came seventh overall in both races. And we've got a video clip for you. That does sound good, doesn't it?
Very nice.
It does. Unlike him, he sounds funny, doesn't he? Because he's from up north.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want a nice photo, Ben, we have got a photo of him as well after getting his trophy haul. Bless him. I think. Have we got a photo? There we go.
There he is. Oh, what a handsome chappy.
There we go. He looks dead happy, doesn't he?
He does. Did happy lad.
Yeah, it should be. Ian, I've got a question via Matt Cleary. He's asked if the live feed on Sunday recorded so he can watch it in the evening.
Yes, it would be if we're going. You know, we've got a little bit of breaking news, actually. We might not be going on Sunday. And the reason being, my son tested positive for COVID yesterday. One of these home kits. So we've taken him to a testing centre today. If that comes back positive, I'm afraid we're out Sunday because we have to isolate for 10 days. If it comes back negative, we'll be there. So fingers crossed he's negative. But yesterday he tested positive on one of the home kits, which means if he does have COVID, I have to stay at home too, unfortunately. Nick?
Just a suggestion. Do you have like a large box you could stick him in?
Yeah, got cage actually, just behind.
Excellent. Just lock him in there. Come and do some videoing.
Yeah, yeah. But we are just waiting to hear, of course. I've tested myself today and I'm still negative, which is good. But yeah, unfortunately, it all depends on this result. If it's a positive test, unfortunately, we won't be coming on Sunday. If it's negative, we'll be there. And if we are there, yes, it'll all stay on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, wherever, and you can watch it back at any time. So fingers crossed.
Club Racing UK! We'll certainly keep our fingers crossed there, I believe. What was that, Nick?
What?
No, I was gone silent. No, I was just asking, what was that you were mentioning there?
Oh, you can watch it on Club Racing UK as well.
Yeah, oh, you right, can. All of our live motorsport, you can watch on Club Racing UK this year as well. So there you go.
Oh, did you know that, Stefan? Apparently, all the live Club Motorsport you can watch on Club Racing UK.
And every now and then, if you're lucky enough, you get a special appearance of a bit of golf.
Yes.
If you're really lucky. And I must say, the Masters, anybody interested, the Masters did start today, so it's well worth watching Sky Sports golf.
I was quietly surprised that we didn't get as big a reaction as I wanted for us changing our company name the other day. But, you have no idea how hard it was.
Who thinks McIlroy's going to win the Masters? Nick, what do you reckon?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, let's move on. Yeah.
<who? laughs> I think that's Dave McIlroy or something. Anyway, back to some Club Racing UK.
Does he wear stupid trousers and wield around a stick?
Yeah.
That's my neighbour.
Right.
That could be anyone's neighbour. Wears stupid trousers, wields a stick. Sometimes it's Nick. Pescara Productions has commented, we had a good Sunday testing our live FIFA. Yeah, big shout out to you guys. So Pescara Productions were covering... I think it was an Autograss meeting. They got 6,000 people watching, but that was, again, live feed motorsport, watching from the trackside at various corners. Let's be honest.
It looked good.
Looks very good because you can watch something like My Supercar that brings you the footage from the pits. And then on a separate screen, if you're really committed and into your motorsport, you can watch the live circuit feed. So you can watch people like myself and Nick rip splitters off of cars and not even bat a fucking eyelid. Anyway, moving on. Castle Coombe had a wonderful meeting there as well. It was only the four championships, in-house championships involved. A big shout out to Chris Pearson and Sepia Photos as well. I contacted him and asked him for photos of all the winners that we had coming in. He's managed to supply them for us, top quality photos. Give him a heads up and you will see him in and around Castle Coombe and other race circuits, I'm sure, this year. Castle Coombe Racing Club Hot Hatch, Jordan Kerno and Chris Southcote came up with the wins. We've got some nice pictures of them there. There we go. That's the most versatile club race car.
Do you know, I've never seen a Honda Civic on a racetrack before.
No, it's certainly a rarity. It's good to see it out. It's turning into a bit of a relic now. And we've got Chris Southcote's Peugeot 205 GTI, which I have a bit of a liking for. The bonnet's
That's a cool car.
That is cool.
I do like an old 205. There's something about them, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Lovely little cars.
Can I just say something before we go a little bit further?
What's that, mate?
I must admit, it's on a live show, guys, so you can watch this back. I actually developed quite a soft spot for the Honda Civic Type R yesterday. There you go. Breaking news. Breaking news for Club Racing UK.
Have you actually developed?
Was it a particular one or just all?
I think it was the 6 or 7 Area Motorsport ones, literally nose to tail around Donington yesterday. Absolutely hammering it. It was fantastic to watch. I'm not going to lie. I will be watching the Honda Civic Cup this year.
I was going to say
and all of that.
Yeah,
watching these guys go for it. I mean, it was a track day. It wasn't. Yeah. They were racing, and it was brilliant to watch. So good. So good.
Just, I completely agree with you. Civic Cup is probably one of my series that I'm looking forward to watching this year. It's under new organisation. They've got maximum grid numbers already that are registered. We've got good friends that are racing in the series as well, people like Sam Pearce. So, yes, it's got all those ingredients. It's a tight-knit series. It's certainly something to look forward to. Now, if you want some entertainment from the Castlecombe Hot Hatch as well, Slip and Grip Automotive's Ross Parker, God bless him, he had an entertaining one. He tapped the tyres at Quarry. And he did blow the engine up on the last lap. He bent the valve. He buzzed the engine. If you want some entertainment and a guy that was really trying hard at the wheel of a race car, go to Slip and Grip Automotive's page. He's uploaded the entire race for everyone to see. And I'll tell you what, I felt for him at the end there because it's a beautiful little car he's got.
It's a gorgeous car. That little is it EG?
It's an EF. It's an even older one. It's an EF.
Yeah. I knew what I meant, but I don't know my Hondas.
Basically, basically, just put slightly older.
Slightly older Civic. I just love the fact that he put up that he's been racing there or driving around there for 14 years now, and it's the first time he's kissed the barrier at Quarry. So fair play to him for that. It was going to happen one day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a gorgeous little car. Yeah, it's a very entertaining video to watch for sure.
Yeah, so again, if you are bored a bit later and you want to watch some onboard footage from Castlecombe, Slip and Grip Automotive's Facebook page and you'll see it on there.
You don't need to be bored. If you love motorsport,
yeah,
get on and watch it.
Get on and watch it. Castlecombe Formula Fords raced as well, and the information has disappeared here. So we've got a picture of the Formula Fords. I do apologise. For some reason, my script has no winners on it.
Good job. Well done.
Unbelievable. I did compile everything together. Oh, my God. Chris Pearson, Ross just had some photos off me when he was sliding right down towards me. Brown trouser moment for sure. It looked like it from inside the car, actually. Castlecombe Racing Club Saloons as well. Steve Kite and Simon Thornton Norris shared the wins. Gary Preble had a bit of a nightmare, to be honest. He sheared the drive shaft in the second race, and he had some awful problems in the first race as well. So the serial winner, the king of Castlecombe, on
king
both
of
races.
Castlecombe came unstuck.
Yeah, came unstuck, ran into some problems. So there's Alex Kite's Audi TT. There's a lovely little car. I think that's complete with the hairdresser kit in the passenger seat.
You can't make any comments about a hairdresser, Robert. Oh, you should tap him up.
Oh, here we go. This is the baldy locks over here taking the piss out of someone with hair.
You get a perm.
Too much testosterone. That's this. This is too much, man. That is too much, lady.
No, it's just called I haven't had a haircut in over a year. Anyway, all Nick's just done. He's constantly been doing that all of his life, and he's just dragged it down to his face. That's all that's happened. Castlecombe.
That's being under the thumb, mate. They just push it through.
That's basically, yeah, could be what it is. Chris Pearson, you absolute lifesaver. The Formula Ford 1600 winner was Oliver White for race one and two. He was also awarded driver of the day. Thank you. Got me out of a hole there, Chris. You absolute legend. Castlecombe Racing Club GT Championship was won by Tigra Silhouette. I'm not going to say it's a Vauxhall because, let's be honest, it's a space frame car. There's probably barely any Vauxhall stuff on it. Either way, check it out. It's so pretty.
It's very cool. I do like a silhouette.
No, that's Simon. That's Simon Thornton Norris's one. So yeah, that's the Tigra silhouette there. And the second race was won by the Ginetta as well.
Who was driving that, Rob?
I appear to have lost that off my pissing script as well.
169 won that?
Yeah, it's number 169 won that. I do apologise. Chris, help.
Chris, can you come on and host the show, please, mate? Our current guy's doing a crap job.
I say this with so much love, Nick, but suck your... Anyway.
Behave.
Right, I have neglected my comments, so I need to go back, okay? Sam Pierce says, standard Vauxhall then. I think he's on about your wiring loom incident at Coombe. Right, so Pescara production. Neil Ashcroft, evening chaps, good to see you at Brands the other day. Good to see you guys. Fantastic. Richard Dodman has tuned in this evening.
Who's he?
He says 205s are awesome.
I'll give him that.
Yeah, Sam Pierce, Nick owes me an apology.
Why? Why do I owe him an apology?
Probably for your hate of Honda Civics.
I didn't have a hate. I'm just not a hot hatch fan. And I don't... Honda Civics are just easy. If you don't have a personality, buy a Honda Civic Type R. Is what I was saying.
Okay. Well, if you
That's
are
a bold
watching,
statement right there, isn't it?
If you are
well,
watching,
it's true, isn't
you
it?
Own if you are watching it's and true. You do own a Honda Civic, it's we true. Will be posting Nick Holmes's home address after the show.
He's racing on Sunday in a Ford Focus. You can throw things at him.
Don't throw things at my bloody car, you tosser! Wait until he's
Nick
out of it.
A bit of buffalo poured will help.
Mate, do you know how hard it was to try and get hold of some fucking buffalo board? Everywhere around Southampton sold out. Like, how many buffaloes do they have to cut down to make that board? Jesus. Anyway, Matt Cleary, Vectra for sale, PM Nick. Vicky Pratt, Nick loves Honda. Well, to be fair, he does, but he loves Ford even more. What can I say? Let's be honest, Nick. You fucking hate me, but the one thing you did say when you got out of my car was, I fucking love this car.
It's fun. It just promotes you to drive like you've got an Asbo.
Well, basically, we did get an Asbo. We got launched off the sack.
We did. We're told to go away.
Yeah, basically, you're too loud. Is there any way you can quieten your car down? No.
No. No, like I said to him, it was a shout out to MJA, really, because that engine in that thing, the rest of it's a piece of crap, but the engine, my God, pulls like a train, just absolutely on song. Love it. No, I'm joking, Rob. Your car's lovely.
It is. Well, speaking of MJA, we are going to feature them as well later on in the show. Sam Pierce, how can anyone comment on personality when you own a Vectra?
Such a dick. I'd rather be a shepherd than a sheep, mate. All right.
Neil Ashcroft also says, never man trust a man with his head on upside down.
I feel like I'm going to get a ribbon tonight.
The roasting started for me.
This is turning into one of those shows, isn't it, where everyone's going to get the piss taken out of. Chris Pearson, the Janetta was Chris Everall. Thank you so much, Chris. Well done to all the winners at Castle Coombe. We'll come back to the comments in a second. So the 750 Motor Club raced at Donington Park with coverage from Alpha Live. So if any did any of you guys get a chance to watch it?
Nope.
I did, not actually. Yet.
What did you think?
Say,
I will.
I thought it was very good. I thought it was excellent, actually. I thought coverage was great, and the weekend looked a lot of fun.
There was some good. There was some good action on the 5 Club MX5s. Were really good. So Michael Epps guest starred in that. There was some YouTuber that does sim racing as well. Ben Short and Michael Coomber came out with the wins, but there was action aplenty. A few cars off, especially up at the top.
There was a huge grid, wasn't there, of MX5s? You know, for 5
absolutely
Club.
Massive.
It was like close to 40 or something, wasn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah, but then, you know, let's be honest, we have sort of...
I think it's guaranteed in an MX5 race, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there's about 2.5 million MX5 race cars in the country, so they've got to fill a grid somewhere. And I think there was about 1.5 of them at Donington Park.
It's proven. We've already proven that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actual scientific proof. You all right there, Nick? Sorting yourself out?
Just plugging myself in with some go-go juice. I realised yesterday at Donington, if I do anything on my phone that relates to videos, photos, or anything, to be fair, the battery just goes boom, gone. So, 41 minutes of podcast and I'm down to 20%.
That's quite good. The Carmel Porsche Trophy and the Bernese V8s were out. There were some beautiful examples out. Beautiful examples out as well. The Joey Logano liveried Ascar as well. Matt Holborn wins in the Tuscan and Jonathan Evans won in the Porsches. One of the highlights as well, they had a 924 that sheared a rear drum during qualifying and then threw a rod during the race. That was a Chris Valentine 924, I believe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so there was a few of them that did get into the wars. I know Martin Reynolds hit some problems as well in his beautiful Sebring. The low cost as well, Simon Walker-Hansell and Andrew Tate shared the spoils there. Race one, the top three was covered by 0.176.
Whoa. Well done, guys. That's awesome.
It was quite entertaining racing. And again, if you do want to watch any of this, just get yourself onto YouTube. Alpha Live still have it all up on there, ready for you guys to win. Jack Chapman in car number 88 was in the wars as well. Unfortunately, he got himself in trouble with the stewards after race one. I think it said on the timing sheets, causing unavoidable contact or something along those lines.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Oh dear! Well, it's going to happen. Everyone's a bit green. Everyone's coming out.
We noticed that yesterday on yesterday's test track day. Track day, not test day.
Yeah, track day.
How many red flags did we have yesterday?
In the first hour, there was 5 red flags, and we only had 7 minutes of runtime.
Tiny. It sounds like Enduro Car Indy 500 qualifying again, though.
It was exactly like that.
It was exactly like that.
That was probably the most.
Right, straight back in the pits.
That was probably the most frustrating qualifying session to ever become a part of.
Yeah.
I think wasn't there at one time where the cars were still leaving the pit exit and the red flags were already out?
Yeah.
Joe Stables won a pair of bike sports races as well, and Carl Swift and Rob Baker of Area Motorsport won the club enduro in 100 grand Seat Leon Euro Cup, chased down by a few GT Cup cars. Now, I'm being facetious, but if you look at the front of the club enduro field.
Oh, that's brilliant, Rob. Well played.
Well
played.
It's a beautiful car, and the guys know how to drive. They're some of the best club drivers. But if you look at the front of the club enduro field, if you're in Class A, just buy a sodding TCR car and have done with it. You ain't going to build anything else. Because it was literally TCR cars, a BMW GTR car with a body kit on it that's fatter than me, and that's saying something. It certainly had a few width restrictions.
Is this it, Rob? Yeah. Is this it?
That's a kiddie there.
The problem is, I haven't watched this yet, so you're going to have to answer my question, Rob.
Yes, mate.
So you had all these TCR almost cars leading the field.
Yes.
Did they take up most of the airtime?
It was mixed, actually. I mean, I think to be fair to them, the commentary team were trying to sort of share it. Yeah. Certainly some of the racing lower down the field. I mean, a shout out as well to Rowan Lundy. You've got the fastest time in Class C in a Toyota Celica. Sadly, they had to retire. But some of the smaller battles down the grid were there. But then again, you also have the problem with an endurance race. Start of the race, everything's bunched up. It separates.
Yeah.
And then the finish got a bit tasty. Towards the end, so it's always how it's going to be. But yeah, it was just quite funny and quite ironic. I mean, you're on the racist WhatsApp, isn't it, Nick? And that was just a few comments on there. Ah, okay, 100 grand TCR copy has just won the Club Enduro Series.
Yeah, that was good.
You know what I mean? And I don't mean to sound facetious, but it can be seen that if someone's looking at that championship, they're like, shit, okay, I've got to buy one of those then.
Well, You get that with some series, don't you? There's when you've got such an open take on the regs, you bring what you want. Oh, here we go.
Oh, Nick's all over the place.
Bloody thing, it's gone.
Looking comfy there, look.
I know.
I'm right, comfy in my lounger.
So before we before we go on to our sort of main event this evening, I'll go through some comments and just set us up ready. Pescara Productions have come back. If anyone is looking to get their racing streams now that they've announced that no spectators are allowed until May, get in touch. I think they're just looking to get back out there and set up and test the live stream and see how it goes.
Oh, this is not working.
Neil Ashcroft says as well, never trust a man with his head on upside down. That certainly seems the case when he can't even...
We've had that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He said something else as well. Daft statement of the night, Nick. And he also said he owns a Civic. What of it?
Don't get me wrong. Like I said yesterday, I have a little found love for them now, seeing how good they were around there. I just think it's not original. It's easy.
Sam Pierce, your phone is about as reliable as your race car.
Yeah, it is. Next comment. Come on, Matt, keep it coming.
Matt Cleary, any of you guys have onboard cams for Sunday? Will be good to see some from the driver's seat. Obviously not live. Yeah, I think we all are. It's mandatory. So
yeah,
we all have to carry it.
Hopefully yours stays attached this time, Rob.
Yeah, it's only because I didn't screw it in. Yeah, I forgot about it. It's all right. I sorted them out back out. It was fine. It was my own fault, that. Jordan Honeybone is watching. Says, you boys don't need testing. I bloody do. Steph's just off for a wee.
You're at the front of the grid, boyo.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No, it's one of those. This year is going to be sort of a... it's going to be like a blind man at an orgy. I've just got to feel my way in. So that's just how it's going to be this year.
Fucking hell, Rob.
What a better way to do it. And of course we'll see Jordan Honeybone there in Class B of the TDC. Simon Court.
Is this why you're sticking me out first?
Why?
Is this why you're sticking me out first? Do I have to feel my way around it to be between drivers I don't really know?
Pretty much.
I hate you.
So if the car gets broken, it's your fault.
Oh, well.
Oh, dear. There's no need to be so facetious, Nick. No, it is what it is. Our plan is Nick's going to go out first because he's race ready, race fresh, and then can get into it, and I could just go in and bang some laps out towards it. Well, Nick, you were the last person to race in anger, I think. I kind of raced for four laps in September, but we'll skip that.
What are you moaning about now?
We covered blind man in an orgy. Sorry, Steph's back. For our audio listeners, Steph's back now. Simon Court, he was at Donington Park for the 750 Motor Club with the Tom Sellers Racing guys supporting the low costs. Jack Chapman's penalty was because somebody slammed on their brakes when they saw the safety car and Jack didn't have many places to go.
Fair enough.
Okay, well cleared up there. See, that's the side of it you see. You don't see. There's always views to that. But what a place like...
You just put it in the script that he was being naughty, and in actual fact, it wasn't his fault.
No, I put in the script that...
Now, apologise to him.
At least we have the space for everyone to share their stories.
Exactly.
What happens.
That is what the podcast is for, is to get all sides out in the open. Jordan Honeybone, can't wait for Sunday. How are you doing, Ian? Looking forward to freezing your gonads off.
Yeah,
he wrote.
It was damn cold. It was well cold yesterday.
It was horrible.
Proper cold.
Yeah, I haven't seen the forecast, but I assume it's not going to be too much warmer.
No, but I will say this: I learned something yesterday.
What's that?
If ever you're cold at Donington Park, just send your team out to do 10 hot laps in the mini in those R888s, then take them off and sit on it. Oh, I'm in love. Honestly, the smell of burning rubber and being able to heat yourself off the tyre was just really nice. I highly recommend it, people.
So at the weekend, if you do come across Nick and he sat on one of my wheels going all cross-eyed, you know what's happened.
I'm cold. That's what it'll be.
Oh, dear. Okay, Charles Boniface. Hey, guys, love the new livery. I've just given you some jip on the My Supercar page. Remembered you can't see that, so I've jumped over, so he's going to continue it here. Well, Charles, as we can't see that, thank you for those kind words, which we'll actually cover in our social media segment, you bully. But let's go on to our main topic for tonight, because it is quite important, I feel. It's something we all use. It's why Club Racing UK was set up and the platform it uses. Social media. What effects is it having on Club Racing? What it's going to have? We're certainly using it to get the podcast out. So what's your thoughts generally on social media? We'll start with Ian Waterhouse because Nick's having a biscuit.
Well, as you know, Rob, it's where we broadcast to. It's crucial. And we'll come to what we've put together shortly. But, you know, some people like it. Some people don't. Simple fact is you can't ignore it. It's there. It's getting bigger. And it's now, I mean, in yesteryear, to watch live motorsport or to watch any sport, you used to have a subscription to a certain TV broadcaster. Nowadays you can watch it for free. I mean, Alpha Live's coverage on Monday, you know, that was completely free. If you want to watch Formula One, you've got to pay Sky 40 quid a month, you know, and it's accessible for everybody, and it's opened up so many opportunities. Like it, don't like it, it's there, and you've got to take advantage of it. As a race series, as a driver, you have to take advantage of it. There's no two ways about it. You've got to.
Yeah. I mean, you say it's the new exposure. Something I kind of thought about the other day when I was writing the script for this. Would you say that social media gives you a bigger presence nowadays than being on TV or in the magazines like Autosport?
100%.
I'll tell you why. And I'm going to talk about golf for a second because I know Nick's a big fan. And Sky
love golf.
Yeah. And Sky broadcast a women's golf tournament, a fairly high profile one. And it had, I think the view figures released for 27,000 people watched it. I think this was even on TV. And we did one on social media that was fairly low key compared. And we had 210,000 people tuning to watch. With a subscription service and stuff like that, you immediately block out a huge volume of audience of people who want to see it. With social media, it's endless. You can get it to anybody. You've got a target market audience that's about 2.6 billion people around the world. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Why wouldn't you utilize that? And the reach you can get, I'm adamant, we get more views on motorsport we'll just stick with motorsport, but I'm 100% confident we get more views in motorsport than Motors TV ever got, 100%. You know, I'm confident. Alpha Live did 30,000 views on Monday, 30,000 views. You know, that's good, although I must hasten to add, I think the overall record is 56,000 set by us at Cadwell Park last year. For the classic. For the classic Enduro cars.
Drop that one in there.
And I think we did 35,000 at Enduro last year. But anyway, look, enough about that. But that does highlight what you can achieve just on social media, doesn't it? And no disrespect to Mobis TV or whatever guys it was under or is now. You know, I don't know the exact viewing figures that they had, but I've spoken to a lot of series who used to pay for that, and they said their viewing figures was in the single thousands. And, you know, we'd rock up with Enduro. I mean, 35,000 people tune in to watch Enduro Cup. You know, it's almost unheard of, isn't it? But if you stuck that on Motors TV, you'd probably have 2,000 people watching it, you know? So the power of social media, I think, is 3 or 4, 5, even 10 times that now of bog standard TV, you know? Even Netflix are in discussions about getting cricket, aren't they? It's huge. It cannot be underestimated. And that's why we've put together what we've put together as well.
It's the accessibility of it, isn't it? The thing is, like, Motors TV, if you wanted to watch a club racing event, it was aired at 3 o'clock in the morning. If you could record it, great. If it couldn't, I mean, I was on Motors TV once when I was with the classic touring cars, and it was aired at 3 o'clock in the morning. I recorded it, great, brilliant. But you know, when you do it on social media, every single man and his dog has a phone that's social media capable now. Mm-hmm. So it's so accessible. It's so easy to just, you know, you don't necessarily have to sit and watch solid 6 hours on your phone, but you can pick it up and watch a good hour of it or whatever. Yeah. Put it down, go make the dinner, come back out, pick it up again. It's so accessible.
It's a really good sort of sales and lead generation tool as well to use, because we always run tracking links in sort of the text that we put in with the series that we work with. So at the end of it, not only can I sort of tell them, well, we had X amount of people watch and this was the reach and this was the engagement, we can also tell them how many people it drove to their website and things like that. And that can't be under it. Things like that, you can't do that on telly, you know, yeah. But you can do stuff like that on social media. And I think the thing that people forget as well, views always steal the show, because they're, oh, look, 30,000, 20,000, whatever. Doesn't that look fantastic? However, success is actually defined by how many people come into contact with you and the engagement that creates. So, for example, 100,000 people watch your content, for example, or classes of you, but your engagement is 50. That means of those 100,000 people, only 50 have actually done something with your content. That's pretty naff. Now, for example, this podcast tonight, I always take viewing figure reports of everything that we do when it's live. This will, based on what we've done before, I would probably say somewhere in the region of 300 or 400 or 500 actions will be taken. Now, that's across comments, likes, shares, and clicks, profile clicks, and things like that. This is data that we give to the series, because we have to be accountable as well. You can't just turn up and just point a camera at a racetrack and go, look, I got you 10,000 views, aren't I great? But that doesn't mean anything. What's the return of investment on that? How do you determine what is success for a client? And we can give that information on social media. Can't do that on telly.
Yeah, it's a similar. Just already the comments have started to come in. So Sam Pierce has said the big contribution to numbers and social media is that the fact, like you said, Nick, it's in our pockets now, whether it's on Motors TV. Okay, Motors TV was fantastic. I used to sit up and watch programs on there, but you had to have Sky or Virgin. You couldn't get it on Freeview. You couldn't get it on Freesat. We're lucky now that, Ian, you're doing some TV work this year on Free Sports, which is accessible to it, but it's there. It's at the, you know, it's that.
I also think people, because of social media, people's attention spans are a lot shorter than they used to be. Do you remember? I don't know how old you guys are.
But something shiny. Something shiny.
Yeah. When I was a lad, you know, it used to have a film came out at the cinema, and then it would be about 3 years before it would come out on VHS. Now, if it comes out at the cinema, about 2 weeks later, it's available on Sky Store or Netflix or DVD or whatever. People's attention span isn't what it used to be. So if you're on TV, you've got a TV show that's filmed at the time. If it's not on, if it's not back on TV within, I reckon you've got 5 or 6 days, then people have forgotten about it. You know, this is why live works so well. And the option that it stores and stays and people can go back at their leisure and watch it if they want, great. But it has to be in the moment. People don't want to watch, like, no disrespect to what happens at the weekend. If people were raced at the weekend and then they're racing this weekend, they've forgotten about what's happened at the weekend just gone. They're laser focused on what's happening this weekend, you know? And it's just how it is.
But you say that about focus. Is it focus or is that a dilution? Because there's so much, it doesn't matter if you missed last weekend's racing. There's more racing coming on this weekend. You know, there's the other side of the coin, isn't there?
You're right, Nick. You're absolutely spot on. There's almost too much entertainment now. And this is why you have to. This is why it's important to get that analytical information so you know who your customer is, essentially, because there's a lot of white noise out there. People say they love you, but they don't really care.
Which is like,
so true. So the
thing with social media as well, certainly drivers and teams can use it to build an identity, interact with their fans and sponsors, whereas beforehand it was either face-to-face or you had to do some seriously, you know, you would have to pay for an advertisement in a magazine. Whereas if you have an advert like a platform like Facebook or Instagram, you can create what is virtually an advertising page for free.
Yeah. I'll tell you something about that as well, Rob. If you are a racing driver and you are trying to generate sponsorship, the very first thing that sponsors want is a campaign. All right. Now,
they want something that is going to give them a return on investment. No one's going to give you money for free. You know, you're going to race and you're going to come, you might get a podium every now and again. Great, here's 10 grand. Go do whatever you want. You know, they want a return of investment. And what they're investing in is access to your fan base, essentially, and your network. Now, if you're a driver, you might be the best driver in the world. But if you go to X sponsor and say, I want £10,000 to go racing, they'll look at your social media following. If you go, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Instagram, not on Twitter, I don't believe in social media. And then you've got a guy who finishes 12th every single race, but he's really cool and he's very charismatic and he's got 10,000 Facebook followers and 10,000 Twitter followers. They'll go with the guy who's got the following. It's that simple. So you have to, if you're serious about getting sponsorship, do be aware that social media, it's not everything, but it's a very, very important part of what you're doing.
Very large.
If you don't have a following.
And it's an easy part as well. It's an easy part. It's what we do. You post some pictures up, give some, you know, short little blurb of what you've been up to, some cool, quirky pictures. And actually, you know, going back to your attention span earlier on, you see people like write up an entire three-page essay of what they got up to the weekend. No one cares. You write a little blurb, put a cool picture up with your trophy. You'll get far more engagement and stuff like that. So it's the way you do things on social media as well.
Yeah,
but even sometimes you can write a bit of a full essay, but you need to the thing is you need to have something that you can write that essay, but you need to structure it so that it'll keep people hooked and keep people reading down it. You know, it's little bits like emojis and shit like that that helps, and little jokes as well. Neil Ashcroft. Live streaming is the future for club racing, in my opinion, but why can't someone coordinate the production companies to get a full joined up club calendar streamed? I'll probably direct that to you, Ian.
Yeah, great question. I would love that. To be honest, I guess it just comes down to money. It comes down to a lot of this, Perez, is where...
Yeah, especially with you.
Date clashes. Yeah, a lot of it is date clashes and things like that. It's yeah. I mean, look, yeah, we've got a big announcement coming up, actually. I'm not allowed to say it, but it is a big announcement coming up. And for us, we've sort of pivoted a little bit. My background is I'm actually a marketer originally.
No.
And yeah.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Oh, my God. And, you learn something new every day. I thought you were a plasterer.
Yeah, well, you know, I am trying to work out why. At the minute, it does look like I'm broadcasting inside a Lucozade bottle.
The sun has entered your room.
I just got yellow light bulbs.
it's that showbiz tan. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. I've completely forgot what I was going to say there. I'll tell you what I was going to say. It comes down to giving more and being accountable. And one of the biggest bugbears, when I looked at Club Motorsport, you know, live streaming is expensive. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not cheap to do for anybody, by the way, because the margins are not particularly great. But there's got to be a way that you can ensure you get the series and the club return of investment. Because at the end of the day, somebody has to pay for it. And let's not kid ourselves. It's the drivers, really. You know, you pay your subs. You do this. You pay for that. The club will pay for track time, but they've got to recoup that. So they're going to have to charge you money. If you want live streaming, someone's going to have to pay for it at the end of the day. So you need to make sure as well as a driver that when you have live streaming there, you're getting access to it as well and you're getting the value for money too. And it's something that really sits with me. I can't just turn up to a racing event, point the camera at some people, walk away and at the end of the day, drop a text to the client and go, look, there you go. There's the viewing figures. 30,000 people, aren't we good? There's got to be more to it, you know, because that has value to you guys. If you got a report at the end of every race which said, this is how many people watched it, this is how many people interacted with it, this is how many people reached it, this is where it was broadcast to, then you've got an asset to go to sponsors, only for you as well, as an individual trying to generate sponsors. And, you know, it would be great if we could get one massive deal to get the entire club racing broadcast live. That would be absolutely superb. And to be honest, there's enough of us, isn't there, really?
You know, Club Racing UK TV.
Woo! Club Racing UK TV. It's just about giving
It's about giving entertainment. Well, you technically get that already, Nick. You know, you've got all the live streaming this season.
All the live streaming from Supercar.
See, now you made a very good point there about someone's got to pay for it, right? But just think of over the years, how many times have the MSA put out these schemes where they've invested a load of money in certain schemes designed to bring people into the sport, right? And they've probably spent tens of hundreds of thousands of pounds to do that. Well, what would be better than actually seeing what you could be doing there in front of you on something like social media, on YouTube Live, stuff like that? Because as a comment, you know, there's a few comments come in as well, and this relates to me. Matt Cleary, I never actually watch normal telly anymore. Facebook Live or YouTube is the only thing I watch now. Yep, same here. Plus Netflix, plus Amazon Prime, which, if you go on Amazon Prime, there's actually a lot of club racing on there because they actually have a lot of backlog of club racing, which I know it's sad and I couldn't give a shit, but I go and watch it every now and again if I'm bored, or I'll stick it on in the background while I'm working in the garage. Again, can't do that with Motors TV, can you? Or you couldn't.
It's better than bloody Coronation Street.
Better than Coronation Street. And again, like Nick, you know, we...
Other terrible soaps are available, for the record.
Yeah, I mean, even the big series are doing it. I mean, the British Touring Car Championship are doing qualifying from the touring cars online and streaming to your house. Supercars, anyone outside Australia and New Zealand, okay, they have streaming services as well. But myself, I think you still do it as well, didn't you, Nick? Superview?
Yeah.
So you pay £5 a month. Yeah. Well, go via YouTube and you can watch the Supercars coverage from Australia live. Last weekend, I was sat writing a script watching the TCR race from Bathurst before the 6 hour, streamed online free.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a new beginning that we're going into, where everything on a PC and on your phone and on your interactive telly is slowly becoming a lot more important or a lot more relevant than just the BBC.
The thing I will say that there's actually a huge difference for club racing and stuff like Formula One and you know, TCR Bathurst, because you know that is, no disrespect, but it's more elite sport. So that already has the following. I think what we're trying to do in club racing is first of all make sure that the drivers and the teams are getting value for money by getting the right kind of exposure. And I think we spoke about it before. If it's just the front three cars are getting all the exposure, that doesn't really offer any value to, because, you know, when we're around the paddock, you know, we met you guys at Endurocar and we met everybody. We got to know everybody on a personal level, and it doesn't matter whether you're first or whether you're last. People just talk to us and have a good time. And that's what we want for club racing. It's important that we fill that funnel and get more people into club racing. And the content needs to be tailored to that. No disrespect. We don't really just want to watch the top three, four KAs going around Brands Hatch for 6 hours. You know, there's got to be more substance to the content than just cars going round and round. If you just want to watch cars going round and round, just go watch Formula One or Le Mans or something like that. If you want,
but
club racing's got to have more.
Saying that, Ian, like you were saying earlier about someone who's, you know, not into social media, yes, they're race winners, et cetera, and it won't go anywhere. Yet if you follow the person who's in 12th place, but they're really cool and they'll give you bigger exposure, you'll get that doing what you do. If you go speak to the guys at the back of a grid, someone who will think, oh, I won't get any, you know, I won't get any exposure, I'm back here. If you interview one of their guys, my God, they go mental. They're like, oh my God, someone, well, I did. I was like, I've been interviewed. And you just share it everywhere and you get far more, you get a much better response.
Yeah,
you know, you do. You've got to tell
on
a story.
Those people than Mr. over here who's won 50 trophies already this year.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to cover the winner. You've got to chat to them because they've won the race. And if you win a race, there should be the reward of always making sure you get a bit of extra media exposure. But my biggest problem is that it almost tries to be produced at a Formula One level when this is club racing. We need to get people into club racing. We need to get more drivers on the grid. We need to get more cars out there. We're not trying to pitch for a new Formula One team. You know, we're not going to try and pay Netflix or get Netflix to pay us £20 million for the coverage. We're talking about trying to, for the lifeblood of the sport, showing it off in the best possible light. And let's not kid ourselves, guys. People are going to get into club racing because of the people that are involved in it. You know, otherwise you'd just do track days forever, wouldn't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Hi, Ian's wife.
Hi, Ian's wife.
Hi, Ian's wife.
Paul Harvey has commented as well. Now, this is quite a big case study. So he's got one of his businesses that with his business partner, Icon Events. They gained over 1,000 viewers in under 1 month on Instagram and over 650 followers on Facebook for his previous race team in less than 2 seasons as well. Right. Mm-hmm. Content is available when you want it across Insta, Facebook, and YouTube. And again, it's that thing, is it? It's when you want it. You don't put your life around what's on the telly. You adapt the media to make it accessible for you. So that's another big tick. Easy to do. It's easy to engage because the comments section, you can respond to those comments. You can then create more content as like the podcast. This is a very much an evolving thing. If we watch this episode and then you watch episode one, it's going to be completely different because...
Night and day difference, yeah.
Yeah, night and day difference because we've evolved to what people have been engaging with us with. So we've kind of learnt what people want to see.
Yeah, and it's your audience. It's your audience as well. If you're a team, Moores Motors, as we know well, or Graves, for example... they've got their own following. They've got their own advertising platform, which is free.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, if you want to take out, how much does it cost to put an advert in the local newspaper in your area? I don't know. It costs hundreds and hundreds here. Or you could stick a post out if you've got a big following on Facebook and it's free.
I mean, saying that then, how can...
Everyone is now, isn't it? Everyone's on their phones. Everyone's on their tablets, whatever. Only people really go and get a newspaper or whatever these days. It just doesn't happen, does it?
No, it doesn't. So the one thing I'll ask as well, gentlemen. Go on, Nick.
But that's another thing. That's where the bridge needs to be built, because you do still have the people that will go and buy, you know, Autosport magazine, the local newspaper, and won't do social media. But if you could show these people how easy it is to use it, a lot of them, I won't be rude, are like the older generation who don't get it. But if we could get them involved with it as well and show them how it works and how easy it is to...
But doesn't that responsibility for me falls on those print magazines that are still going? You know, Motorsport News, for example, I was in the comment section the other day. They're constantly getting panned because they don't really cover club racing at all. You know, really a great deal. I've contacted Motorsport News. And if anybody's watching this from Motorsport News, I've contacted you numerous times offering you our live streams, and I've not even had anything back. Now, you know, I've said they can have it all for free. It won't cost you a penny. You can have our live streams. You can have live Club Motorsport on your Facebook page, and they don't even respond. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to throw something in the mix here, but it annoys me because I feel Motorsport News have a following. They have a big following. They have a name. They have a reputation. And I feel they're not backing. I'm not even saying they have to do it, but just to get a response, you know, to say it doesn't really fit in what we're trying to achieve. Fine, I get that. But I haven't even had a response. And I feel places like Motorsport News, Autosport, they have a reach, they have the following. They have a responsibility to club racing as well.
They do. Well, a prime example of that, guys, can you remember a certain time? It was probably, what, a year and a half ago now? Autosport decided to up the price by nearly a whopping £10. What was used to get everyone together and make them realise, oh, shit, we've made a mistake there? It was social media. Everyone went mental, myself included. Why the hell should we pay 11, 12, 13 quid for a magazine
that only talks about F1?
Yeah. When there's already on their bloody publication, they already have an F1 magazine. And literally they were like, oh, okay, we're narrowing down the national focus. Okay, well, you've just alienated most of your audience. Because I can tell you now, it's mainly club racers that buy autos. And I still do, if there's interest. You know, I'm sure you guys do as well. I think you still had a subscription with Motorsport News a while ago, didn't you, Nick? You know, it's...
if it's got club racing stuff in it, I'll buy it.
Yeah. So just back to some comments, because we've got plenty of comments coming in. So Neil Ashcroft has asked, why do drivers have to pay for coverage? Why can't race organisers then use this to attract series sponsors with all that data?
Yeah, I mean, all I know about this, I don't know who actually... Well, I know who pays for it with us, of course. And, of course, it is the client that we work with. But that money's still got to come from somewhere. Now, it might come from sponsor, for all I know. All I do know is that it's not free for any of you to go racing. You know, you're racing at Donington Park this weekend, aren't you, this Sunday? Mm-hmm. It's not free, is it? You know, you haven't done it for free. No. So,
you know, it is for me.
Essentially, it's business at the end of the day. Essentially, it's business. And this is why I think there's got to be a responsibility from live streamers such as ourselves, such as Alpha Live, 24/7, AJK, all of us. And, you know, by and large, I think we all do it, you know, as well. I can't speak for the others, but I can speak for myself. I'm pretty confident Alpha Live, do I have to say. I was very impressed. I've always been impressed with Alpha Live, actually. But it's got to be a responsibility to make sure that you are delivering that value for money as well. Because you've got an obligation to the teams and drivers as well.
Okay, so question is then, where do you draw the line between greed and, you know, helping out the club racer, the club itself, and things like that? Because everyone straight away goes, someone's got to pay for it. Someone needs, you know, the club racer's got to pay for it. You need money, 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 money. Why can't you, as you've just pointed out, Ian, a lot of the stuff you put out, all the content and stuff, can be free. So why can't people put stuff together?
Surely the
larger benefit.
Yeah, it could be free to view.
Sometimes this.
But then why don't these series do that then? You know, why can't MSV, who own all these tracks, give away free track time? Because look, it's not free to live stream. You know, there's significant data costs every time you go out. And you know, same for you guys. You know, because the simple fact is, you know, we love motorsport. I'm a passionate motorsport fan. However, I can't go to a racetrack every other weekend or whatever and pay hundreds of pounds to go do live stream. I'm just not going to do it. You know, I'm going to say, well, no. And Alpha Live won't do it. And nobody will do it. You know, and that's where you've got to look at it. And if that happens, then you're going to lose millions of views on club racing every single year. And I can't speak for other people's costs, but I can tell you our margins are very, very narrow, very narrow. You know, first thing we have to make sure is we cover our costs. That's number one priority. Yeah. And a bit like you, I know where you guys work. You don't go there for free, do you? You know,
no, you quite rightly, you have to make a living.
You have to make a living. And, you know, as you can see, I live inside a Lucozade bottle, so I'm not rich at all.
What I meant by it though was the fact that surely it's more beneficial for a club to front the cost than for their exposure.
Yeah.
Then they might trickle it down to the drivers. But
they might do it. And I think what happens, it's like most businesses, isn't it? They work out how many drivers are going to have for this season, they work out what the costs are going to be, then they see what's left and then work it out from there. I'm not saying the drivers literally rock up and have to pay, right, it's 20 quid for the live streaming and stuff like that in their own pocket. Yeah. It's all included. Everything's included in your fee. And then if the club deem that they have enough spare reserves or an extra sponsor come on, a lot of this is sponsorship obligations as well. You know, if you've got we did the two CVs 24-hour race last year, and it was a sponsor obligation, and the sponsor fitted the bill. You know, so you know, great if you can get it. I'm not literally saying it's the drivers who've got to essentially pay for everything. However, you know, at the end of the day, if there's a load of free cash knocking around and going around, for example, then the first priority, surely, let's make your race entry fees a little bit cheaper. But if you're a series, you need to get more cars on the grid. You need to use that money in marketing. If you're a business, you have to have a marketing budget. And live streaming is a massive way of marketing.
But then
you know what you could do? Make it optional for the drivers. If you don't want to pay the live stream fee, you just get pixelated during the stream.
We could interview you and just like put a
black it out.
Just a smiley face on top.
Yeah. I'm here with Mr. Smith, but we're not allowed to talk to Mr. Smith, so we're gonna talk to you because you paid for live streaming.
But because you say the operating cost scenario, so let's say, I mean, how many sort of club racing operating weekends are there a year, would you say? 45, 40?
What, across the board? Right, consistent weekends?
Yeah.
I'd probably say, now they're running into December, aren't they? So
yeah, so you could almost put, I say, you know, Motorsport UK, the clubs, you could almost set up a, because again, back to my point about earlier, if you're physically seeing on the TV, the best way to attract people to the sport is to actually broadcast it and take it to the masses. A bit like what you guys have done with Club Racing UK with the post. You're showing people just how easy it is to go and do your ARDS test and to go and physically do it. Now, if someone's just scrolling across YouTube one day and they watch these YouTube videos where these guys review cars and shit like that, and they come across, oh, bloody hell, there's some actual racing going on, you know, some club racing from Silverstone, for instance, or Stetson, and they go, oh, bloody hell, how can I get into that? And they could go into it that way. So they're always, in various sports, you know, the Premier League puts a vast amount of money towards grassroots in football. I know it's the same in rugby with the RFU. They put a lot of money towards grassroots. Surely, from Motorsport UK, some of that grassroots money could go across just to contribute, not pay for it all, but just to contribute and maybe approach the circuits and go, okay, here's a bit of cash to make your circuit live stream ready, for instance, to put the camera equipment in place or whatever, so that you can stream a meeting from that circuit with ease, and it shares the costs all round, whether it's from clubs themselves like the BRSCC, BARC, MSV or whatever, the circuit owners, sorry MSV, that's two bills for you, but you know what I mean, Motorsport UK, and maybe, okay, if it's £2 out of my license fee per year, if you think how many racing members there are, how many license holders there are, if it's an extra £2 or so across the members that contributes towards that, I would pay it.
Yeah. I think it's one of these, though. The Premier League wouldn't give away their rights, you know, just to a central house, you know, that they control everything. And it's the same with the clubs. You're almost then dictating to the clubs what they can and can't do. And I think they need to retain their own independence. You know, BART can do what they want. BRSCC can do what they want. MSV can do what they want. And if you're putting them all in the same bracket then, and your membership has to include that, you are putting pressure on those clubs as well. And then essentially what happens is, what you'll find is then Motorsport UK, for example, own all the broadcast rights for club racing. And then what actually happens, Motorsport UK look at it in a year and think, God, my God, we had 5 million people tuning into club racing. We're going to stick this behind a paywall now, and it's going to be a subscription service so we can make more money. I'm not saying they would do that, but that's the way these things go. And that's what happens to Sky. Yeah. And I think it's dangerous. I think, you know, this is club racing. You know, this isn't Formula One. We're trying to get as many eyeballs on it as possible. And there's enough of us that are getting attention there. And some people want it, some people don't. Some people get it, some people don't get it. And I actually think it's the healthiest it's ever been right now. And I think it's only going to get stronger, and it's on the right path. It's just a responsibility for everybody to make sure that the content that's produced, A, gives value for money. Don't just chuck money at live streaming and think, isn't it great? And be happy that you've got a report saying 20,000 people tuned in. Well, what does that 20,000 people mean to your drivers? What does it mean to your sponsors? What does it mean to you? Can you measure result? What is success? And this is the question you have to ask. What is the point of doing it? And the whole point of doing live streaming, isn't it surely to get more drivers on the grid? That's the end goal, really?
Yeah.
So we protect the future of club racing for the next 15, 20 years.
That's it. Get the fans involved. Get the younger generation going, oh, I want to go do that. That looks really cool.
And that brings us, I suppose, Rob, if we're okay, we've created the social media race table as well. And it's quite interesting.
Cat amongst the pigeon time.
Now, what we've done is we have created, to start off with, a Facebook. We're going to publish this every single quarter, and we're going to publish it this weekend, but we're going to look at it now. And we've created a social media race table for Club Series in the UK. We started just with Facebook. Now, we are going to expand this to the next quarter to include YouTube, and then we might go Twitch, whatever. But Facebook and YouTube essentially are the main two. But for the ease of purpose, for this one, we've just done Facebook. And it's centered majorly around club racing, but we do have BTCC in there just as a bit of a yardstick so people can see sort of what the top level in the UK is doing. Now, the criteria for this as well is, and I must stress as well, we've probably made loads of mistakes with this as well. So we've probably missed loads. I think I got about 96 series or something in there. So if you look at it and we've missed, we apologize. This is what we could find. And I kind of use the main series. I use MSV, BRSEC, Bark, Castle Coombe, NG Car Club, the ones that we know very well, and looked at a few others as well. So that was what we could find. If we've missed any of yours off, if you're involved in a race series and we haven't included it, we apologise. But please, please, please do email me or comment below. I'll bring my email up in a sec. You can get hold of me on here with the links to your social media for your race series. So then I can have a, we can include it in next quarter's publication. So, Leon, if we've got the table ready to bring up.
Oh my God, look at this. This is serious.
Let me just get rid of my name there. So, as you can see,
you want that tab up there, Ian? Ooh, yep. You got your internet tab up there. That's a dodgy one at the top.
By the way, that's Leon's computer, not mine. So, as you can see, position on the left, what series it is, and Facebook following over there on the right. For quarter two, so published at the end of June, it will be, we'll include YouTube. And it's quite simple. It will just be the two columns added up, and that is the total. So, as you can see, the British Touring Car Championship, just the followers. So, the British Touring Car Championship, as you can see, is 180,484 followers. Lotus Cup Europe, I did put it in there. I know Europe, but I put it in there. British GT, 34,115. Mini Challenge, 27. I suppose, realistically, the first sort of club one, F1000.
Yeah, F1000. Yeah. Or if you can count the Mini Challenge with the Cooper class.
Yeah, maybe. British Track Racing in there, Brit Car, Classic Touring Car Racing Club. So, it goes to show. If we keep moving down, then you've got the Motorsport News Circuit Rally Championship, the Alfa Romeo Championship, Gersten Down Speed Hill Challenge, British Hill Climb, C1 Challenge, Fun Cup, Nankak Tide, BMW Compact Cup, Mighty Minis Junior Saloon Car Championship, GT Cup, Classic 2 CVs, Toyota MR2, Pickup Truck Racing, the Kumo BMWs, Ginetta Junior, Hot Hatch, the Harewood Speed Hill Climb, Clio 182 Championship, MSVT Track Day Trophy, Legends Cars. Then you've got Z Cars, Enduro Car is 32nd on the list out of that 96, I think. Avon Tires National Formula Ford, which is surprisingly low. And then the Avon Tires Northern Super Classic, I'll come to that. Club Enduro, Road Sports, Birkett Relay, Porsche Sprint Challenge, the Bernese SR and V8, Amok Racing, the Amok Racing Club, the BRSEC Fiesta Junior Championship, the MX5 Cup. The Carbonate Hyundai Coupe Cup, Nick, I know you know those guys well, the MG Trophy, the Porsche Club, 116 Trophy, Track Attack, BMW Car Club, the Max 5 Racing, Calm All Porsche Trophy, the BRSEC Mazda MX5 Super Cup, MSVT Track Day Championship, City Car Cup, Formula V, Focus Cup, K2 and Graduates Racing Club, Classic, Stock Hatch, Low Cost, you mentioned earlier, Sports 1000, Type R Trophy, Triple M Racing, Sports Specials, Modified Fords, Mark II Golf GTI, BRSEC Fiesta Championship, sports. Look, you get the message. We will publish this on our website as well and put it out there for everybody.
I thought we were going for the full lot then.
Nearly got there. Now, what I must state, there's a very strict stipulation with this. If we just scroll a bit further down, Leon, what you will see at the bottom, there are also another number of race series. So 95 have a following. All of these, which are zero in pink, it's quite a lot there. Now, the reason they're zero is that you can see the Ginettas in there. There's the Ginetta GT5, Ginetta GT40. The stipulation for this table is that each series has to have its own Facebook page. It has to have its own audience communication. The Ginettas and a lot of the Caterham championships come under, for example, Caterham Cars only. So they don't have their own separate identity. Everything goes through Caterham Cars. So they're essentially sharing their audience. That is why they have zero. Ferrari Challenge, for example, I think everything goes Ferrari through Ferrari GB or something like that. It's not a Ferrari Challenge own page.
Same with now, Castle Coombe Racing Club. There's
exactly a few of those. Exactly that. Now, Castle Coombe obviously have their own racing page and have the circuit page as well. However, those ones don't have their own almost personal page. And this is the importance of having your own audience. It's great if you can piggyback off Caterham Cars, so you've got 10,000 followers or whatever, but you still have to communicate to your own audience. And that's the point, because there's a lot of big series in there which have nothing, technically have nothing. They do, but they piggyback off
having to flog road cars at the same time. And that, to me, is not your own social media audience, just about the racing. So what do you think, guys?
Oh, I like it.
It's certainly an eye-opener. I mean, there is there are series in there that I thought would, to be honest, would have a lot more.
Look at that, yeah. 94th. The Aston Martin Owners Club Intermark Championship.
Yeah, 200.
They've literally only got 245 people.
Yeah, no, they have. AMOC have their own racing page, and a lot of those fall under that, and they will promote through that as well. So essentially, they're double bubbling up. But as I said before, it's got to be their own. I mean, look, the Elise Trophy, I thought we'd have more than that. And it just goes to show, actually, if we're totally honest here, social media for club racing isn't particularly strong. You know, if we're looking at this, really, if we go straight back to the top, Leon, if you wouldn't mind. If you look at that there, only the top five have double figures followings on Facebook. That's it.
Isn't it?
You know, and the top club racing one has 7,029. Now, as I've said before, we've probably missed stuff off. And if we have, we apologise. And if you think our data is wrong, please do drop me a message. Comment here on Club Racing or head over to my supercar and drop us a message, or there's my email address. Do feel free to email me. I put it out there. We want to be as transparent as possible. We want to get it as accurate as possible. These figures as well were taken at the end of March. So I appreciate there's been 8 days of growth. So they're not going to be exact as they were, but appreciate it does take a bit of time to put the data in. So we have to have a cutoff point at some stage. So we're going to build this out every single quarter. We're going to add in YouTube next. And this will shake things up a little bit because some of them will have far bigger YouTube followings than they do Facebook. So it's not fair just to judge everybody on Facebook. However, Facebook, as you know, as Alpha Live, AJK, we all broadcast to Facebook. So it's a very strong starting point.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like I said, we will publish those over at contentlive.net over the next couple of days so anybody can access it. We'll put it out on social media. We'll send it to you guys. So you feel free to share it as well. And it just highlights the importance of, if you're racing for a series that only has a couple of hundred Facebook likes, there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to do something to raise that because there's a fair chance we might be missing out and getting new drivers when we don't need to, you know?
Yeah, well, they're definitely missing out on some on an audience, aren't they? You know, if you've only got 200 following, you know, in the country, it's going to be thousands more that probably would, once they've seen it and know it's there, go, oh, wow, I'm following that, that's cool.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I think the big, I think the big problem is there's not one club series in the UK according to our list that has over 10,000 Facebook followers, and it's not everything. It's just a good yardstick. It's a good number. It's a good number to sort of base yourself on, and you know it shouldn't just be right. Let's forget everything else and just focus on this now. But it is something to consider growing and being a bit more active on and just getting on it a little bit more and thinking, don't underestimate it is what I think we're trying to say here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's an honour. I mean, Chris Pearson's commented that Castle Coombe Racing Club has 3695 between the four, because there's four championships under the local circuit, right? So that's just over 3,500 followers for that particular. And Castle Coombe, really, it's his own brand because of the day out you have there with the racing club. They don't go off and do their own thing separately.
I get that, and there's always going to be a bone of contention, isn't there? But we have to draw the line somewhere. And I must say, Castle Coombe social media is brilliant, by the way. They have Coombe TV, don't they, which is absolutely great with Chris Dawes, and they get it. You know, I've never been to Castle Coombe. I'd love to go, but those guys get it and they get the value of it, and that's great. But I've got to draw the line. I can't do it for them and not for some like AMOC or somebody, you know, somebody like that.
If you're listening, Chris Dawes, get a page set up for each of your championships and get you on the list.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, look, what we'll do, we'll set a separate one up for the championships for the organisers, MSV and BRSCC and Bark, and you know why not? It's not to shame anybody. It's just so you can see where you are and think, okay, do I want to improve or are we just quite happy doing what we're doing? You know, you don't have to do it.
That was what I was going to say. Obviously, this isn't you're the best, well done. It's purely to help all the other championships and clubs see, well, how come they're getting 10,000 views yet our racing's better? Well, it's probably because the guy who's in charge of your social media is just not as active and is getting as involved, and the content's not great, and you haven't got my supercar involved. Whatever. But it will hopefully help clubs who want that. Because there's clubs out there that probably don't know what they're doing. And they're thinking, no. Oh, I've got 200 followers.
It's a huge marketing tool.
Yeah.
It is. It's a major marketing tool. If you have your own page, you've got 200 people who really care about you. You know, so build it out. Look, get more.
I mean, if only there was a club out there that had a fantastic platform of all sorts of races that could help distribute your race championships. What do you think, Steph? What do you think, Rob?
It would be absolutely awesome. And it would be better if they kind of had a podcast where they could come on and talk about these things, as well as having, I don't know, maybe a members page, like a paddock.
Yeah, maybe all hang out in the paddock and talk all things racing. Wouldn't it be great if there was a club out there that did that for everybody?
Just hang out for free as well. You can hang out in the paddock, have a mass debate, just really hang it out there. Just but Chris,
go to that Facebook page and hit that like button.
Yeah, I mean, Ian's frozen. I don't know whether his internet's gone down or he's just really happy to see us. But Chris Pearson's
loving that pose.
Yeah, he's come back and said fundamentally that is a list that can spark some better social media presence. So it's always a good thing. Oh, Ian's back. So kind of. It's the robotic man. Charles Boniface has actually come back and put, this is so useful. I can see people like myself choosing a series to race in because of something like this, as people like me need sponsors to keep racing, especially if we want to do a whole series. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's what people need, isn't it? The ones that are the people that race with sponsors, you know, that's what they need. They need as much engagement as possible. So, you know, that's what they're going to do, aren't they, in this modern era?
Yeah, and social
media. And then he's going to just disappear, isn't he?
Well, that's it. He's disappeared into the ether. That's Sky Broadband for you, ladies and gentlemen.
yeah, if ever there was an advertisement for Sky Broadband, right there.
He's back. Okay, so Ian, you've had some really good responses to the table. You know, I was just saying, Chris Pearson's basically said it's something that can fundamentally put the spark in there. Neil Ashcroft has asked, can you confirm where you can get a copy of the spreadsheet, please?
Yeah, we'll publish it on our website. And also, if you want a separate copy, go over to My Supercar on Facebook. Just drop us a message and with your email address and we'll get it sent out to you. So if anybody wants a copy, please just head over to My Supercar, drop us a message with your email. We'll send it over to you via email.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Cleary has asked as well, is Club Racing UK building a calendar page that you could press on a date and it will tell you what's on and where?
We are working on something like that, yeah.
I mean, we tried on Facebook, put it in the calendar, and then the world shat itself and decided to change the date. So that's a lot of effort down the drain.
Yeah, we did.
So we're working on something a bit more modern and user friendly, aren't we? Well, I say
we are.
For you, but
yeah, it'll be a Club Racing UK app. You'll just be able to go, what's on at this weekend, and fingers crossed, it'll give you a nice list of who's where and how'd you get there. Etc.
Yeah, Sam Pierce comments as well, like the Racers Lounge, Nick. I mean, what, there's 15 to 17 of us on there, just random club racers just chatting shit about club racing and stuff like that. Anyway, David Garside, would be good to see a spreadsheet for individual races or team pages.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be a lot of work. Any sponsors out there want to pay us to do it?
Well, when you're in your 10-day isolation, you need to give you something to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm in it right now. Who knows? Yeah. Please be negative.
Please be negative. We could do a Club Racing UK social media table. For the record, I'm not putting anything into a spreadsheet. I don't do spreadsheets.
David Garstyle actually says, and that's a good point here, there's a total for all competitors in that series, because the point could be that a series could have 200 followers, but if it's got loads of competitors in it that have got 2,000 likes on their page, it actually spreads that it spreads the umbrella.
Yeah, no. Well, it only spreads it if people share it or you broadcast to it. So that's something we work very heavily on, as you guys know. So it's important that to engage with the content that your series is pushing out to help grow it as well, you know.
Yeah. Charles Boniface, I'll slip you a tenner to put me at the top of the driver's list, Ian. Ian's not, I could tell you now, Charles, Ian's not cheap. I'll speak as his representative. He likes unmarked, non-sequential bills. in a black suitcase. He wants to see at least 10,000 of them. If you could just slip the briefcase just outside his house, he'll pick it up as he's social distancing at the moment.
There's COVID a nice bin I use up at Waterloo Station that if anybody wants to leave me any money, I'll pick it up there.
Didn't you have a bike nick from there once?
That was Fleet Station. Don't bring that up.
That was Fleet.
still teary about that.
We're still teary about that one.
Okay, last question. Last question on the subject then, subject matter at hand. We've talked about how great social media is. We've produced this table. It's fantastic. What are the drawbacks currently and in the future?
Well, look, at the minute, the drawback in sport is, you know, dare we say the word racism, but the problem you have is any old idiot can comment as well, and that is a bit of a drawback. I'm pleased to say we don't really see that at club racing. I don't think I've ever really come across a comment that I thought that's below the belt ever.
Whoa, hold on a minute. This whole episode tonight has been a Nick bashing session.
hang on, you bloody started it when you started going on about my really crap split.
Bloody keyboard warriors being mean to me. That's not fair.
Well, that's it though, Nick. And that is kind of the only sort of downside is we've noticed this as well, is when you broadcast to just family and friends, everybody's all nice to you. And oh, aren't they good? You know, good on them for doing it. Then when you start to broadcast to sort of 10, 20, 30, and then in golf, we're doing over 200,000. Some people just don't like you. You know, you can, for whatever reason, they just won't like you. And you've done nothing to them. You could meet them in the pub and you could have a drink with them and they think you're the nicest person in the world. But for some reason, they just don't like you. And they're free to say whatever the hell they want about you. And like I say, we're fortunate enough that I haven't really ever come across anything like that. But it is, we know it's out there, and that's the problem. That is social media's big problem. But I think they're starting to get quite hot on it. They're starting to police it a lot more and just get rid of the idiots, you know, and Facebook especially have got a lot better. I mean, years ago, it's so easy to get likes. You go to a page and they've got 10,000 likes, but it turns out they're just paid for likes, which means you've got a load of people sat in a country a long way away from here, and there's hundreds of them just sat there who've created 30 Facebook pages each, and they're just liking stuff, but they've got no value to you whatsoever. And this is again another point. It's not just about numbers. It's about the value of your numbers. And this is where actually the biggest yardstick for content when you're pushing it out isn't actually how many people have viewed it. It's how many people react and engage with it. If a lot of people react and engage with it, your content's got value and you're targeting the right audience. If you broadcast out, or if you put a post out and let's say you put a little video out just dancing around or doing whatever and it gets a million views but nobody comments, that content has pretty much no value whatsoever. You know, all it is people just laughing at you. You need, certainly in club racing, because it's a business at the end of the day, isn't it? Really, for everybody, even for drivers, because they have to work out, you have to work out what your budget's going to be for the season. You need to work out what you can afford, where you can afford to go. You've got to look at stuff like, you know what, Cadwell Park's a real long way away. Can I afford to go do that? Because I have to stay two nights instead of one night, you know, if it's at Brands Hatch, let's say. So, you know, everything's essentially working out costs, looking at budgets, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the same in social media. Your content has to have a value. And if people engage and react and comment and like and share, but you've only got 300 followers, well, that's actually really valuable. Those 300 are really important people to you. In fact, that's better to have 300 people who react than 1,000 people who don't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's 2 points here. One I had in my head. One, Charles Boniface has just put up now. Monetizing could be an issue in the future because people, if something draws a crowd, people want to make money out of it. So there, you know, I know there always has been whispers before that Facebook have wanted to monetize certain things. And another thing for me,
right though, as soon as that happens, then people will move. You know, if arguments like Facebook started monetizing lives or streaming or lives or something like that, which I can't imagine ever happen, then someone else would just generate an app and everyone would just go over to there and do it there because it's free.
Yeah.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Stefan, and people are. This is why we now broadcast to Twitch as well, just to sort of hedge your bets a little bit on things. And we spoke about it before, where if we had one centralized platform for streaming for club racing in the UK, problem you got with that. Again, it sounds great in the short term. In the long term, if MSU controlled it, for example, they might look at this and think, well, hang on, we're making £2 per member at the minute, but if we charge a subscription, we can charge £10 a month. You know, here, we're going to quadruple the income that we're making at the minute. So that makes sense. We'll stick it behind a paywall and people will pay it. And that's why, again, it needs to remain independent. Don't forget, YouTube and Facebook already monetize your content if you hit certain criteria. But that money actually goes to you. You get a portion of that money. So I think on YouTube, you need to have a minimum of 1,000 subscribers, then you can start to monetize it. Now, realistically, you're not going to make any money until you get to about 10,000 subscribers. And I think it's roughly the same on Facebook. But there is nothing more frustrating than an advert, though, when you're watching content. But I think, you know, that's a problem that perhaps might not exist too much, because you've got to remember with Facebook, they want to keep you on Facebook. And if you're live streaming on Facebook, people will stay and watch it on Facebook and they won't go anywhere else. And everybody thinks Facebook is the demon or they're just out to get money from you. They're not. They're just trying to keep you on Facebook. That's what they're trying to do. And what they'll do is they'll favor better content. If the content is good, the content is, and the people are reacting and engaging with it, the algorithm is it will get shown to more people because you're more likely to stay on Facebook. And that's, so if you work with Facebook rather than thinking they're the devil, you're going to get better results, you know?
That's quite a good one there. Has anyone watched The Social Experiment on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
I haven't actually.
Watch it. It teaches you, it shows you how the social media side of things works and how you're getting monetized. You're not getting money from it, but how it's all working. And I tell you something, it's quite the eye opener of how certain things pop up on your. I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you click on your search button on like Instagram, things that you look at for longer periods of time than other things will be the first things you find in your search things, in your search bar. It's very interesting if you watch it. So again, it works that way for the kind of content you found.
From the creator side of it, us trying to create that content, that's why we have to be very clever about
what you put out there.
A picture of a car on a racetrack, just side shot. Yeah, you're going to get the usual people are going to go, yep, that's cool, like it. But if you can get those odd ones that are a bit, you know, someone's got it a bit squirrely or something else is going on that stops some people for a minute to actually stare at it and go, what is going on there?
Yeah.
Then that's what then drives more of our content to them.
A little tip for you as well. That's a good point. So in fact, that's a great point. And when you post something, you've got, I think, certainly on Twitter, you've got about 3 minutes before Twitter will decide whether that post is going to be successful or not. So if you've got multiple Twitter accounts or you manage multiple Twitter accounts, as soon as you post something on one post, go to other accounts and retweet it immediately, because then what you'll notice is it will get shown in a lot more places. The organic reach will go up a lot higher as well. It's same with Facebook as well. If you just post something out, you know, and nobody reacts to it, what you'll tend to find is if nobody's reacted in the first half hour, it's highly unlikely anybody's going to do anything with it, because Facebook are thinking that's not a successful post. That's perhaps not the best content to be shown.
Yeah. And I'm
not going to shut it. Yeah, because you always hear people on Facebook going, well, I never see XYZ's post anymore. I never see this. I never see that. It might be because they're just not consistent enough with it. And they might post once a week and then don't post for 2 weeks and then post once a week. LinkedIn's a big one for that. If you're not consistent, don't bother being on LinkedIn if you're not going to post consistently.
Well, going back to the posting, right, and this has happened. There's a few examples I can think of on top of my head. I won't name names or anything like that, but how often, especially in the club races side of it, I know there are certain rules in technical regulations for the big boys like the British Touring Cars and such, but how often has there been an incident on track that's gone viral because of social media, because there's been an incident? To, you know, the MSA had to put it in the regs about bringing the sport into disrepute. So at the same time, social media is fantastic, but at the same time, you've got to be careful what you put on there.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that personally, though. I think that's tough. If you're going to have something like BTCC and have a lot of people there watching and stuff, that comes with part of the territory. That's part of the responsibility. That's just part of the territory. What are you going to do? Ban people from using their phones?
Well, no. I mean, as in, like, especially with club racing, someone puts up an onboard, oh, look what happened today. I got smashed into. What an absolute bastard. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the multiple camera views. And it brings a championship into disrepute when it could effectively have already been solved in the steward's office. But it's
look at that club enduro post that we put up last year.
Yeah.
The TCR car got flipped. Blew up. That went absolutely nuts. It didn't matter where you clicked on social media, you got to see. Obviously, if you're in the motorsport fraternity, if you're in golf, you wouldn't have seen it. But yeah, it just blew up, and everyone was talking about it, and everyone had an opinion about it. But obviously, for club enduro, their views must have just gone through the fucking roof, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but then I think that's why shows like this exist, isn't it? To let people have their say.
Yeah, we can talk about it, Charles Boniface puts as well, the sad thing with that is that crashes do draw more people than just good hard racing, and that's with any level.
It's always going to.
Oh, yeah. That's human nature. How many people used to sit and watch you being framed because you were watching people fall off their chairs?
I think, very true.
That's human nature.
If we watch that race in Bahrain and Grosjean didn't crash and set on fire, how many people would have watched that race afterwards? You know what I mean? If that hadn't happened, how many people would have watched it? And it did happen. Yeah.
Do you know, figures would have gone through the roof because of that. I hate to have to say, because I've always been a bit of a fan of Grosjean, if I'm totally honest. I've always thought he's bloody quick.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it was already announced he was leaving Haas at the end of the season anyway, wasn't he?
He would have just
disappeared. You know, because of that crash, I hate to have to say this, it doesn't make it right, but his stock has risen through the roof because of that crash. And that's because of social media, essentially, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Because if one person shares it and then another person shares it, it just explodes. While we're on the subject of Grosjean, did you hear a fun statistic I heard today? I think it was Matt that told me today.
What?
Did you know Romain Grosjean was on fire longer than that Mazepin was actually racing? There's a statistic for you. So Romain Grosjean was on fire for longer than that Mazepin has actually raced in a Formula One race.
I thought he was called Marzipan. I was like, why is he named after
Marzipan?
Yeah, whatever.
I love Marzipan.
What we're saying is, don't go out this weekend and go smash the car up and set yourself on fire just to try and get yourself out there.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
There are right ways and wrong ways, and that is definitely not the right way.
To just stop it there, we've got a final question, Nick. It is from Sam Pierce. How much value did your naked video have?
That's true.
All jokes aside, right, the reach I got from that was huge because everyone was like, oh, or yay, ooh, he's sexy, and all of that. But it did what it was meant to do, but as a byproduct, I got banned. But it got people talking. It got people talking.
Because he posted it on Grindr.
Chris Pearson.
Grindr contacted me.
Yeah, Chris Pearson. Okay, this is a good final line. Okay, Chris Pearson, nothing sells like sex or bad news. Simple as. From that chat,
look at COVID. Look at COVID. Fucking hell.
Yeah. I've just realised we've been nearly going at this podcast for 2 hours, so we're going to have to move it on to a bit of partner focus, okay? So if there's anything we've missed out there, don't forget to go onto the My Supercar webpage to check out the table. If there's anything we have missed, comment below, and we'll see if we can get it into a later episode. Now, our first of our partner focus, we're going to come to the live draw in a minute, or have you already drawn the winner?
Unfortunately, we're not professional enough and left it last minute, so we have already drawn, but there's no live footage of it.
We've got a winner, but we've got no live footage of it yet. Well, not yet. We're going to just announce the winner later on, or in a minute.
Yeah, we'll do it after the partner focus. So the first partner, I have to be a bit selfish here. It's the wonderful guys and girls at MJA Race Engines that built my 2-litre Z-Tech. I've got a quick video here of a 4-litre V8 they've just built and tuned to championship regulations, racing in the BC V8 championships that you can check out live on My Supercar this season. Play the video.
Goodbye, earphone users.
So there we go. For any engine work, by all means, I highly recommend them. Like I said, they've built us a fantastic engine for the Focus. I know they've done some bits for Nick's Vectra as well, and they're doing a lot for many club races up and down the country, as well as featuring on Car SOS and building engines for the likes of Fuzz Townsend and Tim Shaw on that show as well. So check them out. They are on Facebook, MJA Automotive Engineering in Bromsgrove. Give them a look up. Our second partner focus is Hawk Motorsport, because they announced this week they are now the official resellers of Zamp Motorsport helmets and accessories. Their brand is quickly being recognised as a market leader in design and quality without blowing the budget. They've also sponsored a few championships in the 750 Magic Club. Helmets are available from the most recent helmet standards and are available in bare or pre-printed options. Have a look now at hawkmotorsport.co.uk. Go to their store, check out Zamp helmets. So there we go.
Sexy looking helmets, they are.
And our final partner focus is probably the greatest wind-up of all times, apart from Nick changing the page to Club Golfing UK.
There's no wind-up here. There it is. No wind-up.
Just you wait till Sunday.
We have a special announcement, actually. I'm pleased to say Nick Holmes is going to be coming to Huddersfield Golf Club with us for the first 2020 Pro Tour event on April the 19th, live. We're very excited to have you along.
I think Nick should co-host with you, Ian. I mean...
Yeah, I agree.
Because I'd be the best host.
We can't wait for that, Nick. It's going to be great.
I'm really looking forward to it.
The boys and girls in particular, Chris and Vicky Pratt of All Square Wrap and Ride Racing Division, posted this on April Fool's Day with their massive blue lorry. Let's put the picture up. That's not photoshopped, is it?
No. He had it at Donington the other day.
Speaking of Donington, the reason he's going to be able to pay for one of those, just look at the grid he was sat on at the Masters event at the weekend. Next picture, please, Elaine.
Look at the result he got as well. Wow, look at that. Sexy cars there.
Look at that grid. So there we go. That is the All Square Wrap Ride and Ferrari.
Didn't he get his guy got two wins that weekend as well.
First time the guy had driven the car over here. Then I was speaking to Chris at the weekend, and he said it was something like 6/10 off some of the pro drivers. And the guy had literally purchased the car. Chris has built it over the winter period, and went out and absolutely smashed it. Come away with trophies. That is how good he is at setting up a car.
Well, he was with. When was it, Donnie? Yesterday, he was with Red Seal Racing with Patrick Seal, and he he found heaps of time for them there, so he does do an absolute mega job.
4.2 seconds?
Something like that.
Something like 4.2 seconds over the day.
Yeah.
He managed to gain those guys. And they had Sarah Moore with them as well, which is pretty cool. Really cool, actually.
Yeah, I think she had a fair amount to do that as well. But this setup is with the data analysis, everything was mega for them. So he's booking up fast, people. So
give him a shout.
Yep, do get in touch. Well, without further ado, then, that only leaves us to not have a live draw, but who has won the competition that's been running for quite a long time on the Club Racing UK pages?
Oh, do we have the picture? Do we have the? I don't know if we put the picture in there for the winning of the £300 of the race entry fee.
There you go. Oh, look at that. Great job.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. You guys are so professional. So obviously, over the last few months, we've been getting people to come in, sign up as a member, be entered into the competition, and you get to win £300 off a race entry fee. We did a random name generator earlier on. As Steph has already mentioned, we're incredibly professional whilst at work. I didn't video it or anything, unfortunately, but our winner was, drum roll, Cameron Tunio. Of Snodhead's Garage and Racing.
Congratulations.
He's our race winner. So,
well done, Cameron.
Look at that. Well done, mate. We'll be in touch and we'll work out which, obviously, race meeting you want to use your £300 for. So, well done, mate. And thank you to everyone else who signed up as a member to enter into our competition.
We will announce a new competition soon.
Yes, we will.
I'm sure they will.
You can win a four-pack of Titleist Pro V1s. Golf balls. That's the next prize.
We give away some of those novelty golf club sock things.
Head covers, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, but with our heads as the covers. I think that'd be good.
Club racing head covers. I could do with some head covers for my clubs, actually.
You could just do with a head cover, full stop.
Oh.
Meow. Me too. I've got plenty of hair.
So have I.
Oh dear. Okay,
boys,
well,
we've been on the show for 2 hours.
Strong.
Yeah, it's been a long show tonight. So just the last of the comments. Vicky Pratt says the car is a beauty. You're not kidding me. Jay Cam Tunio as well. He knows he's got the results in. So Vicky Pratt has said that Chris Pratt has moved to Donington for a couple of weeks. Jonathan Bennett. So money goes to Money Tunio. Well played, fella. That's Neil Ashcroft. So yes, Sam Pierce does say you could do with a head cover, says the bald man. And Cameron has actually said, I'll let the club decide what race to enter.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty cool.
Brands Hatch.
Yeah, probably Brands Hatch. Probably Brands Hatch somewhere. Well, it's probably been the longest show we've ever done. Hopefully, we've given some good insight to what you guys can do on social media and what, importantly, social media can do for you, the club racer and or organiser. As usual, your podcast host has been Robert Lewis, joined effortlessly every 2 weeks by Mr. Nick Holmes, Steph, the other one, Marsh, and Nick, who...
Oh my god.
Fucking hell, I'm having a stroke or something, I'll tell you.
And you finally, get over 2 hours and Rob shuts off.
You get over 2 hours. Over 2 hours, Rob's broken, put 10p in the back again. I've been Robert Lewis. I've been joined by Nick Holmes and Stefan Marsh of Club Racing UK, Ian Waterhouse of My Supercar. Good evening, good night. Join us again in 2 weeks. Much love, people.
Bye, everyone. Bye.